It's not just food constantly changing. Our families are changing as well. But how and why? Researchers at the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research have been trying to figure that out. Pamela Smock is here. She's a professor of sociology. Thank you so much for being here.
Happy to be here.
Are we saying the Ozzie and Harriet family of America is on its way to extinction?
I would not say to extinction, but certainly to a minority of all families.
What are the biggest changes that you found in the makeup of what we call the American family?
I would say the biggest change has to be that 40% or a little bit more of all children are born outside of marriage. So we're talking about almost half of all children are born outside of marriage. A majority of those are actually born to cohabiting couples. So I think this is really the sea change in family.
What has caused that to happen?
Well, one factor, sexual revolution. The sexual revolution made premarital sex okay. And so, for example, the forces that made people not live together before, say in the 60s, the reason people were opposed to cohabitation wasn't because you're cooking together or doing laundry together, but because you were having sex. When the sexual revolution occurred, that stigma associated with it was removed, so it was free to escalate. So what happened was basically the connection between childbearing, marriage, living together sort of got decoupled. So people were more accepting of different kinds of family formation patterns.
We probably have something in this country where there is kind of a front line of Americans who still do feel it's wrong and feel that the country's moral compass has shifted versus those who feel it's right. I'm guessing you're not saying widespread people are saying it's fine now.
Well, let's put it this way. 70% of people who get married today live together first. And I think that's going to probably go up to 80%, with the only people not cohabiting first being the ones with strong religious convictions. So this is really normative. It's the modal way to live these days.
You also found in your study that American families aren't as white as they used to be.
Oh, that's quite true. That's quite true. And we see that continuing. And about 50% of newborns are not white. So that just symbolizes how multicultural our culture is becoming.
So we're seeing more mixed race couples. And then you found more gay couples are starting families.
Right. And many of them are now married.
Yeah. So we're seeing unmarried households headed by same-sex couples were up 80% in the 2010 census.
So there's been an increase.
And an estimated 25% of those are raising children. So we're seeing a huge increase in unmarried households headed by same-sex couples.
Right, as well as those headed by heterosexual couples.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering what all of this means for children. As you said to us, fewer than half of young adults reach age 18 in a family headed by their married biological parents. What does that mean to kids?
The main issue with children is that some of these family formation trends, including cohabitation, means more instability for children. It means that they're likely to see for example, cohabiting boyfriend leave the household. They're also more likely to have a half-sibling or have a step-sibling who sometimes lives in the household, sometimes doesn't. So the other thing that's happening, which is fascinating, is that households are no longer the defining unit of family. We see people coming in and out of households, living there part-time, and we even have studies that show that mothers and adolescent children disagree about who is in their family.
Really?
So we've got issues of instability, which can be harmful for children, and also just ambiguity about who is my family, and also many separations. Step-siblings could become very attached when they're living together. And then when a breakup occurs, that step-sibling leaves.
And how is this reflected in, or is it reflected in behavior and in the way children process all of this?
My colleague Paula Fombi at ISR has done research on this, and it does affect them. She finds that they can be affected in terms of aggression in school, mental health, things like that. But I don't think we have the final word on this.
How much of this do you think this kind of all of this change comes from forces that are beyond the family's control or beyond a parent's control, whether it's the economy and just a change in that way? And how much of it comes from maybe moral choices that a parent makes?
I think it comes from both cultural changes and economic changes and economic issues. For example, the children that are born outside of marriage tend to be born to less advantaged parents. The couples who are using cohabitation as a step to marriage, for example, let's date, let's live together, let's marry, then let's have children, those couples tend to be privileged couples economically. And we're also finding that among cohabitors, those who go on to get married are also the more privileged. So economics has a lot to do with non-marital childbearing, with cohabitations that never turn into marriage. People believe that marriage requires a certain level of economic well-being, so they're not marrying until they have achieved it. And many in our society will not achieve it.
But they're having children who are then caught in cycles of poverty. And I love this term, this kind of harmful churn that is going on in their lives.
Yes. Having children when you don't have many other opportunities is a way of making meaning in your life.
Yeah. But then what's life got ahead for children, for those
That's
children?
That's right. That's right.
And you also have to wonder, as these children are kind of growing up in this ever-shifting and, shall we say, fluid environment of the family, what their view of the family unit and marriage might be going forward.
Well, I'm actually studying that, and a few people have studied this, and we're calling it sort of the transmission of divorce, or the transmission of cohabitation. So I'm looking at how whether a parent's cohabitation leads to the children to be more likely to cohabit. And the answer is yes. So society is changing. Our parents are doing different things than they did before. And so we're going to do those things.
Is there any part of this that is about a parent doing me first, what matters to me and my life and me having a partner more than stability for my kids?
There may be for some people. But I think for the most part, people try to do the right thing. They think they're doing the right thing. And one thing that's very important to point out is some divorces are very important for children. Mm-hmm. When there's conflict in a relationship, divorce is the best thing for kids.
It's an interesting topic and one that is being felt in every corner of the nation. The report from the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research, The New American Family, All Are Welcome, and You Don't Even Have to Get Married. Pamela Smock, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.